Welcome to This Ocean Life Podcast. I am your host, Josh Peterson. Today's podcast is brought to us by our friends at Mile 22, makers of surf and paddleboard accessories, including the world-famous Monster Straps, which I have used for many years, designed in California by folks who surf and paddle every day. Check them out online at mile22.com. Now, today's episode, number 17, we speak with Troy Nebaker, a man from the rugged waters of the U.S. Pacific Northwest up in Washington, who found peace in paddleboarding during a major life event. Now, Troy shares stories of forming the Monster in Sea nonprofit organization and the 24-hour paddle relay that basically is completely dedicated to raising funds for families battling cancer. Now, we hear Troy's stories from the very challenging and awesome 24-hour paddle event that he started. We're about 5 years in now. I myself have participated with some friends the last couple years. And his attempt at the 70-48, which is crazy, 70 miles of paddling in 48 hours. That's right. We also hear his great perspective on getting in the ocean and just going because you can. Because when you're unable to go is when you really want to go, so let's do it now while you can. So a wonderful perspective from a great guy. Man of the ocean, surfs, paddles, etc. And really lucky to have him. So thanks for being here. Thanks for listening. And let's get into the ocean life of Troy Nebaker.
Troy, thank you so much for your time and welcome to the show today.
Oh, hey, thanks, Josh. Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You're doing so many neat things that I would kind of say have elevated the involvement of the paddleboard community into something kind of bigger than itself. And I mean, I think folks listening will kind of get what I mean there. And so let's start with that. And you've put together something called Monster in Sea. Can you start from the beginning? Tell us what that is, where that came from.
Oh, you bet. It's it's kind of a story of unfortunate circumstance that that turned into something pretty cool. My wife was diagnosed with cancer in 2013. She was diagnosed with breast cancer, which, you know, is super scary. There's no, yeah. I guess there's no soft way to explain that. And I mean, right on the heels of that, she was diagnosed with lymphoma. So she had a double dose of horrible. Basically. Mm-hmm. And the thing is like when cancer or, you know, something horrible like that enters your vocabulary, it kind of becomes the sole focus of your family.
Yeah.
And it consumes you. It consumes every normal aspect of your life. And, you know, to be honest, it sucks. And Monster in Sea was a byproduct of that. Paddling for me has always been sort of that place of, you know, peace, of, you know, fitness, of thinking, mm-hmm. you know, of disappearing, all of those things. Yeah. That I think as a paddler, you probably understand, definitely. You know, every single one of them. And, you know, I was sitting out in the middle of, you know, middle of the lake one day and was, you know, just completely wasted yeah. from everything.
Right.
And that's where I was like, the thought was, is like, you know, can we do something different here? I'm, you know, as a husband, you're supposed to take the punch for your family. And what just wasn't, you know, this is one of those things that you can't take it. And I suck with a hammer. Can't build anything to save my life. terrible with numbers and all of that, but my career has been building brands and helping people tell stories and, you know, communicate with people in a kind of a way that, you know, reaches into their hearts a little bit.
Hmm.
And so that's how Monster in Sea was born. It's like, let's figure out a brand that, you know, taps into the kind hearts of, you know, the water community, because there really is something about people who are attracted to the water. They're unlike any other people I've ever met. You know, the generosity, the caring, the willingness to, you know, say hey and, you know, sit down and talk a while.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really something about it. And you know, that culture that surrounds it is, it's awesome.
Right.
It's really good. And so let's create a brand that sort of taps into that. I didn't want to be like another surf brand or anything like that.
Because yeah.
there's so many do great things. Or just wanted to be something a little bit different. So we started up selling, I made a run of 100 shirts, and we went to our local Round the Rock event here in Seattle, set up a little card table, and my daughters worked the table, and we sold some shirts, and the goal was to take money from the sale of those shirts and give it to a family who needed it.
Yeah.
A family who was dealing with cancer. And that's how it all started.
Yeah, that's cool. And that, so where did the name Monster and Sea come from?
Monster and Sea sort of came from its root is in that kind of the cancer and feeling of craziness.
Yeah.
If you think about the ocean has emotions just like we do.
Mm-hmm.
It represents everything from peace to, huge anger to confusion to, it's all there. And that's where the name came from, with that idea of Monster and Sea, is that it can be, whatever you're dealing with, the sea sort of meets it and, becomes part of it. And there you go.
Yeah. So you leveraged what you know so well, which is building brands, and you leveraged the paddleboard community and just the sense of, just kind of the I think inherent good nature of that community at large. Put those two things together, started selling shirts and with the idea and other products of giving back to cancer. And then you took it to another level. At some point, you also said, hey, let's add some other component here. Let's get people in the water donating time to raise funds on the side. So then how did you then move to the 24-hour paddle event and sort of, getting sponsorships to come in to sponsor teams to raise additional funds for families with cancer?
Oh yeah, definitely. I was fairly naive in the clothing business world, and building an apparel brand is insanely difficult.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I mean, just the, and it was, I was looking at that going, man, that's a really long road to be able to help on a significant level.
Ah.
And so what else can we do? And that's where the thought of the 24 came to life was, let's create a paddle, create a 24-hour relay paddle with the sole purpose of raising money to help families. And, we are all going to go out and paddle anyway, mm-hmm. and we love it. And, we're going to go out, and it extends beyond paddling too, but I mean, we're going to go out and do the things we love.
Yeah.
So why not do that for the benefit of others and use that love and that momentum and that passion for that thing and help folks along the way.
Yeah.
And that's, and that's how the 24 sort of came about.
Yeah. That's so cool. Cause that's one thing that struck me with, and I've had a few stories to relate to that I'll share in a moment here. But one thing, when I first, this Duke Brower down here in Santa Cruz, who's very much that, giving back type of guy to his core. He's just a wonderful human. But when he first mentioned it to me, just first of all, that's what I thought of was, yeah, I'm going to be paddling anyway because paddle season's coming and I'm going to be getting in shape. But then it's like, whoa, I get to paddle for 24, a reason to paddle for 24 hours, which I've never done overnight. Wow, I've never done that. And so you get excited as just a person of the ocean. And then you layer on this, oh, and my paddling actually does good for somebody else, and it was just like this, what an amazing concept, and was that kind of the reaction you got from, folks when you first, you had the first team, I guess it was probably up there by you. I mean, was that the reaction when you floated this to some of those around you that they were just so amped on it from the start?
Yeah, it's, the first team was here in Seattle. I sent out an email to five friends, so there's six total, so me is the sixth, and got instant yeses. So it wasn't even a, there was a couple people, people around that are like, dude, you're nuts, what do you think? But instant yeses from paddlers, because what you just said is really key. Is, you know, when you love when you love what you do, whatever that activity is, ours is paddling. And you mean I get to do it for 24 hours and no one's going to bug me? Yeah. And no one's going to say anything?
Like, I know, it's true.
Man, it's like, oh, I get to do this for 24 hours nonstop because I love it? Right on.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, there was instant yeses. And, you know, we had a modest goal of, I didn't really think much of it. I'm like, you know, we're probably, you know, friends and family, we'll raise, you know, $4,000, something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, be able to help four families. And, you know, that first year we ended up raising $7,000.
Yeah.
Just from, and the neat thing is people give to this, there's nothing in it for them.
Right.
I mean, people are giving to this because they want to, because it's from their heart. And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's way awesome. I noticed that as well. I mean, I, you know, when we did it, of course, you're reaching out to friends and family and they, you know, they're amped for you to do it. And of course, everybody's got a, you know, a spot in their heart to help folks with cancer or help folks less fortunate battling a sickness. But then these are folks who understand the ocean because they're here where I'm in Santa Cruz. And then where I work, which is in like high tech, which is in Silicon Valley, which has 99.9% of people who maybe just barely ever go to the beach. Paddling, they didn't even know what it is, but it didn't matter. You know, I hit my work up and other folks, and it was just so neat that I was able to get them excited about paddling. And they're like, wow, you're in the ocean for 24 hours. That's amazing. Oh, wow. And there's this family that you're helping out. And what I noticed was this real neat byproduct of this whole, of what you've put together is, it kind of bridges people who know nothing about paddleboarding or very little about paddleboarding, and they get to like think about it, and then they donate $20 or $50 or something, and then they're asking you about it afterward, or they're looking at you on Facebook and your pictures, and so it's kind of neat involving folks who don't even really know the ocean that well, and they're just down to really help out. So this spans so much more than just folks in the ocean, you know, which you put together.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, we have a tagline that has sort of struck an emotion in people, and it's go because you can. And you know that I mean, when you're healthy, you know, it's awesome. You can participate at any time. When you're not healthy, all you think about is participating.
Yeah.
You know, and it sort of gets, you know, when it gets removed from you, it's like, I don't really care about, you know, podiums or times or any of that.
Yeah.
Really all I care about is going out, hanging out with my friends.
Yep.
You know, I mean, that's the piece of it that I think that piece right there ties the athlete to the, you know, the community.
Yeah. Yeah. Super true. Now take us through the first 24 you guys did, because there's a learning curve to it, I think.
Yeah,
you know,
yes, there is.
And it's a very fun learning curve, and I'll share. There's one down here, but tell us about the very, very first time. You guys had no frame of reference. You were just going cold turkey. Let's paddle for 24 hours. So how did that go? Tell us what went down.
Well, the in past lives, I've done triathlons and done 24-hour mountain bike races, and you know, sort of all that stuff. So it was a little accustomed to suffering for a little while. And the question of why 24 hours has been a big one that's come around, and, you know, it's meant to be a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant to do 24 hours and to go through the night and to do all those things. It requires more than yourself. Meaning, when you're surrounded by your team, and when we talk about team and things like that, if you go back and relate that to the cancer experience, your team is your family, your community, your friends. They rally around you to keep you going. And so the 24 is a very, very small sample of that.
Mm.
Meaning you've got 24 hours. It looks pretty simple on paper.
Yeah, it does.
You know, you're like, oh, shit, no problem, man. We're going to party during the day, and then, you know, we'll go ahead and paddle through the night, and it'll be no big deal. And but it proves to be a little bit more challenging.
Oh, totally.
And you need your team.
Yeah.
You need your friends. You need your community.
So
you need
true.
The support of others to
yeah,
ensure
so true.
That you make it. And so that first one, you know, people came out of the woodwork. We didn't have to ask for, you know, food showed up. People showed up in the middle of the night to carry boards because, you know, where we were here in Seattle, Urban Surf is sort of our local, you know, it's the local shop.
Mm-hmm.
And we housed it out of there. Robin and the crew were nice enough to give us the keys, and we slept up on the, well, I use the term slept loosely, but we we rested up on the mezzanine, you know, in the store. And you know, a really cool experience, but to get to the water required a bit of an effort. You know, I mean, you had to, you know, you got to walk across the street and through this park that, you know, gets a little crazy at night, and, you know, and get on the and so we had, sorry, man.
No worries.
So, you know, we'd walk boards down to the water during the night, and, you know, people show up and they're helping carry boards. It was awesome. You know, people show up in the middle of the night, and it just, I don't know, the community rallies. And
yeah,
it was refreshing and humbling to see people there because they wanted to be. And that, you know, and that experience to me, I mean, that just, you know, yeah. if there's anything that fills you up,
yeah,
and, you know, just sort of makes you, I don't know, it brings faith back into this crazy world.
I know. Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. It kind of helps you restore some faith in humanity, you know, seeing just folks show up to help out who don't need to. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, it's rad, man. And, you know, I mean, and to do 24 hours, you know, like I said, on paper, it looked really easy. And so that first one, you know, I mean, we're skating in the parking lot during the day.
Totally.
And
messing around.
messing around and doing all that. And gosh, about, I don't know, about 7:30, somewhere in there. That's, you know, that 6:30, 7:30 time when you've been on the water for, you know, a fair bit.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to creep into you.
Yeah.
You know, and you start to get a little bit tired, and then, you know, you hit those. To me, the hardest hours are the pre-dawn hours. So that, you know, kind of 3:30 to 5:30. Time.
Oh yeah, yeah. And so Troy, for folks who don't know, so there's 6-man
sure,
teams,
yeah.
and typically what mm-hmm. we do is you split up in pairs, and the team can decide if you know two people go for an hour and then two people go next hour. So nobody's doing the full 24 that I know of, you know, in individual. And so you kind of, it's like a relay, you're rotating. So somebody's always on the water throughout the 24 hour period. So you go for a couple hours and then you rest for a bit and then you get back in. Got it. So then those cold, yeah, those pre-dawn hours get to be a little funky there. And so what about like the cold factor? And like, did you have enough wetsuits and were you prepared with, you know, food
yeah.
and all that stuff?
Sure. Sure. Well, it is a relay, and, you know, no one's done the iron division just yet. There's been some questions, about, you know, Hey, can we do that?
And, whoa.
You know, but, yeah, so the purpose of the relay is honestly it's safety.
Yeah.
In that, you know, you got to have a buddy with you on the water at all times. And because this is, you know, the nice thing is that the teams and team captains know their paddlers, you know, so there's you kind of know who's going to be out there on the water and you know how they're going to react at 2:30 in the morning,
mm-hmm.
you know. and there's some comfort safety in that. But the pair thing is, I think is important because you got to have a buddy.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody to talk to. And, man, I don't know about you, but the relationships that have been developed and the friendships that have been developed through the 24 have been pretty spectacular. You know, oftentimes you don't say a word.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's other hours where they go by so quick because you've talked the whole time.
Yeah, it's very true. I remarked upon the same, you know, the 2 years I've done it, my I was paired up with the first year, both years, Nick Franco. In the first year, he came out just because he wasn't part of the team, but he came and paddled mm-hmm. with us the whole way. And then the awesome. Next year, this year, he came back and him and I were together. And it is true, you know, just paddling in general, you just chat with folks and then you get to know them over time with like an hour paddle here. But when you're when you're doing this and you're really kind of relying on each other, especially when it's, you know, 2 a.m., and you're yep. cold and, you know, you're just tired. Yep. And so you really get to know somebody at a, you know, deeper level. And that is, again, there's so many amazing byproducts of this event. And that's yeah. definitely one of them.
Yeah. You know, you asked about wetsuits, things like that. It, you know, Seattle, I mean, so we do this when it's uncomfortable. So it's in the early season. So it's, you know, the first year it was over the Easter holiday weekend. So that's April, May, you know, that general time frame. And it's cold.
Yeah.
You know, in the Northwest, it's yeah. still definitely cold. And you know, I was going into it eyes wide open sort of thing. I had one wetsuit at the time and that got gnarly.
That doesn't work.
No, it doesn't work. And you know, I mean, you know, the funny thing is like you look back, you know, we've been doing this for, you know, this year coming up will be our fifth year. And, you know, you learn a few things over the course of time and, you know, now there's a few more wetsuits in the bag to have a nice dry one, you know, come in.
It's key. And that's part of that learning curve I mentioned, you know, and that was, you know, when we did it here in Santa Cruz in 2017, you know, and Duke Brower, you know, spearheaded, yeah. he was our team captain, put a crack team together pretty much, you know, and that was one of the things. It was a lot of the stories I can relate to because, yeah, you're having fun. And, you know, we were staged from Cal's Beach. There's a hotel there, there's a pool and the families are out and, you know, they're having burgers
awesome.
And some people are, you know, having drinks and it's this really cool big thing and it's fun and the weather was nice. And then all of a sudden, like you said, it gets dark
yep.
and yep. folks start drifting back home. That's cool. And then you go through a wetsuit in one session and then you kind of relax and then it's your next, you're up again. And if you might have a second suit, I think I brought two thinking that'd be fine. My other one will dry, you know, yeah. in between. Well, that's not true. It's not going to dry. And so when the midnight session came, you know, the wind picked up and it was like, oh man, it's chilly out and I have two wetsuits to choose from.
Yep. Oh know? Yeah. it's crazy. And, yeah. and, you know, you talk about that and, you know, I think about us, right? Like, you know, you guys down in Santa Cruz and, you know, the Newport team and,
yeah.
And then, you know, you get just Pacific Northwest. I'm like, oh man, well, you know, burr, that's mm-hmm. cold. Well, we have a lot of teams in Canada.
I know. I was thinking
and man, those guys are hardy. There's, I mean, thinking about Frenchman's Bay last year, I saw pictures. They were sleeping in their cars.
Oh man.
It was snowing oh. and ice and oh. cold and every single one of them were like just amped to be out there.
Wow. That's gnarly. Good for them.
You know, and you get those guys and the guys in Canmore and there was a, I believe it was Ontario and, forgive me if I get that wrong, but they were so frozen over that, they couldn't paddle. And Whoa. So this is the thing for me that I'm like, and you guys are rad. What yeah. they did is they're like, well, since we can't paddle, we're going to be active for 24 hours. And they basically did CrossFit for 24 hours. They rode on the ergs. They ran on the treadmills. They, you know, they basically took their shifts in
wow.
the gym.
Wow. That's and more was, gnarly than paddling probably.
Oh, I know. Right. I'm like, you guys are animals.
Wow. But, that's so amazing. And so how many teams this year in 2018 did you have?
Well, so it has grown. It has grown from one team in Seattle, you know, and the switch got flipped. The second year we had seven teams, for one for each envelope that we gave away the first year. And then the third year we had 22 teams
wow.
in in different cities all across the U.S. and Canada.
That's amazing.
And then last year we had basically it was 26 cities across the U.S., Canada. We've got, you know, a crew in Cayman Islands that comes out and does it as well. And in each city we had multiple teams.
Jeez. So 50 you know, plus, 50 give or plus. Take. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
And the cool thing is, I think what makes this a little bit different than most of your, well, there's a lot of things that make it a little bit different than most of your fundraising things, but each city is raising for their community.
Yeah.
It's not like it's going into a big pot somewhere.
Right. Right.
You know, this, you know, ether where it's like, I don't really know where my money's going. You're paddling to see results in your community.
Right.
And to help somebody that, you know, that needs it. And that's the thing that touches a chord with people so much is that, man, I'm handing these guys a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I'm paddling crazy.
I know
And then they're giving it to somebody who needs it. And that's really cool.
It's way cool. And that person, it really personalizes the effort, the activity in your area. I mean, I noticed the same thing. Like, you know, I'm down for helping folks with cancer wherever they're at, but when it's somebody yeah. who grew up like a couple miles from me or is battling or has a family with a kid who's my children's age who you know does junior lifeguards at the next beach, it just kind of elevates the I don't know, maybe the interest. It just really brings that community together. Again, an amazing byproduct of this, you know. And then what's also cool too is, and I'm not sure, I doubt this is true for all the cities, because some of the folks that, you know, the teams are benefiting might not physically be able to participate and or just, you know, be at the beach or make an appearance. But we've been fortunate here where, you know, the folks who we've been benefiting have both times been present and were there. And and so when you come out and you see them,
how cool is that?
Oh, it's incredible, you know. And it, again, our daily lives are so, you're running so fast, and you know, you really kind of, you know, forget what you have. And then you see this, you know, 10-year-old kid with brain cancer, or this 24-year-old, you know, mother with, you know, cancer, and you're just like, whoa. I mean, things just stop, you know. And so it is, it's such an amazing, and even folks coming down on the beach, they bring burritos or they just hang out and clap for you, and they feel it too. So it is such a neat opportunity for the community to kind of rally.
Yeah. I mean, it changes your perspective, right? It's like, oh man, I can willingly do this.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty cool. And that's one thing that I think we talk a lot about silver linings, you know, like in any situation, in any difficult situation, I think there's silver linings if you choose to look for them.
Right.
And I mean, one of the silver linings of this whole thing is that, people showing up, you know, you get to see the fruits of this right away. And one thing that's been happening, this year, like you said, that, you know, people who you're helping are there on the beach. And then this year in multiple places, people who had been recipients of envelopes the year before came out and paddled with the teams this year.
Oh, cool. That's so cool.
And so, you know, it's like, oh my goodness. You know, when you have a moment where you're like, oh man, I'm tired, and I don't know that I can paddle anymore, this kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And you think about that. Man, it makes paddling a joy.
Yeah, it totally does. And one thing that we've really incorporated into, or tried to, you know, is the fun aspect. You know, there's
absolutely,
you know, we pick cool, fun routes, and you know, like I'm sure all the different cities, you get paddlers of your community that show up and just do it with you. They might do one leg, they might do multiple legs. We've had, like I mentioned, first year, a good buddy did the whole thing, and you know, just because. Yep. But we also, you know, and fortunately where we are, you know, there's a little surf break, and so we'll ride bumps. We'll paddle out, ride a bump, a little wave ride out. You know, this year we also brought down a subsquatch, you know, and we threw a couple guys on it who it was their turn. And then a couple buddies jumped on and we're paddling out to steamer lane, riding waves, paddling back out. Like, we're super active, but trying to make it fun, you know, because the families on the beach, they see us smiling, you know. I mean, then those the middle of the night hours come, and then the fun factor kind of goes away, and it's more about just bearing down, you know. But
yeah,
you know, one other thing too that I remarked upon is it's an amazing opportunity to see your water, your local water, at night. I mean, how often I've lived in San Cruz my whole life. I've never paddled past probably 9 p.m. or surfed. You just don't, you know, and you see, that's one thing that I really dug about it was, you know, the winds, like, what is this strange wind? I didn't know this thing came up at midnight. Wow. That's, you know, or seeing the lights of your city, or seeing, we had this crazy, like, the phytoplankton bloom, and, you know, it was, you're digging your hand in the water and it was surreal. It was like that full on, like, blue green lighting up around you, you know, and just things like that, that the daytime you don't really see. So it's a totally different perspective of being in the water too.
Oh, without question. And that's the neat thing about hearing stories from different, you know, because people are on lakes, people are in the ocean, people are, you know, in all different types of water. And that's actually a really common thing is the nighttime. It's a completely different environment.
Yeah.
You know, and it just lights up, and it's, you know, here in Seattle, we paddle on Lake Union, and you got the ambient light of the city, and, you know, when you're a kid and you like, melted all your crayons together, you know, you like poured out the box, and it's like, I mean, that's sort of what it looks like on the water, you know, you got all the lights from the city, and it's just this, you know, the water's covered in color, and it's cool. It's really cool.
Super cool. So I mean, we've touched on so many different, I mean, call them byproducts or just other, you know, kind of related, just amazing, bonus factors to participate in, you know? So, so now Troy, take a different, you know, I'm also curious now leading up to, you know, you putting this thing together, you know, you've been a man of the water for a long time, you know, surfing and paddling and amazing photography. So take us back, man. Tell us about how you started paddling and enjoying the ocean. What was your, you know, youth life growing up, and where was that and everything?
Absolutely. My folks moved to the Northwest when I was 7. So I've been, you know, basically a Northwest guy my whole life. Competitive swimming is, I think, where the first taste of a water addiction sort of showed up. And, you know, swam competitively all through high school, you know, and that whole thing taught, guarded the, and I use the term lifeguard loosely because, you know, a lifeguard here is very different than an ocean guard, and tons of respect for the kids programs and the, you know, the ocean programs, you know, that happen in Santa Cruz, et cetera. It's just like, if I could reincarnate myself, I would be down there, you know, but it's, surfing in the Northwest is a commitment.
Yeah.
You know, there is, you know, your closest break here is about, you know, it's about a 3-hour drive.
Oh man.
And, you know, and you may or may not get, you know, you may or may not get waves. You kind of become an amateur, weatherman, you know, trying to figure out. But that, you know, here we're kind of surrounded by water and water of all types. So it, you know, if you're going to play outside here, you pretty much need to be involved in the water. And I wish I could say I was a competent surfer. I participate and I love it and I'm terrible at it.
But I doubt that, but
the paddling for me has been that where waves aren't readily available, paddling is like the next best thing, right? I mean, you've got the experience of downwind and boat wakes and chop and fun and rivers and all that stuff. So it just, it takes hold of you. Being surrounded by water, I mean, I started paddling for real probably 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe less, you know, 10, somewhere in that realm. And, you know, my buddy buddy had a board and he's like, oh, you got to try this. And I'm like, I like that. And then I tried it and I'm like, I really like this. And have never stopped.
That's cool. And so you're talking about prone paddling and mm-hmm. you have a variety of different water, which is pretty neat. Fresh water, you have like the sound and everything. Yep. And so do you have a crew? Is there a pretty, one guy in particular, Daryl, who's an absolute and total
legend.
Massive legend. I mean, just not just the nicest guy I've probably ever met, but just such a strong guy in the water. I think he finished his 10th Catalina this year or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, number 10. How crazy is that?
Amazing. I mean, the guy's amazing. Yeah. So I know there's a bunch of a lot of paddling going on. Not a lot, but there's a strong contingent up there. Now, have you come down and done Catalina or migrated down to California for any of the races down here or anything?
Yeah, I switched to prone, 2.5 years ago. And actually I don't own any more stand up stuff. Mm-hmm. prone has a way of,
it sucks
you in.
Yeah.
It's just hard enough that you're like, oh, man, I got to figure that out. So I've come down and we pile in, and thanks to Daryl and Rennick and those guys, we pile in and come down to the J race. I've come down and done that twice. And then I have yet to make the cutoff for Catalina. Just haven't qualified just yet.
Yep.
So that's on the list,
Nice.
So, yeah.
Very nice. Cool. Now, how about photography? I mean, so I'm looking at your Instagram and I love the shots of your dog. There's so many cool ones of your dog. I swear it's like, but just photography in general. And you got some great shots of people who have participated in paddling and events and everything. So is that something you've always been doing? Is that kind of your core, profession as well?
Well, the brand and design and building brands and things like that. I mean, my background is in advertising and design.
Yeah.
And, you're surrounded by photographers, and, I've always hired photographers for projects and things like that. And, really hiring them for how they look through the lens. And, I picked up a camera a handful of years ago just for joy, more than anything else, and really, really enjoy taking pictures, telling visual stories of adventures, the surf, is, man, I just don't grow tired of shooting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's for me, it is part profession, but also part passion and sort of a way to start conversations with people. Because if you do, if you have a camera in your hand and you're genuine about it, you can meet people. And if you have the opportunity to tell their story in a picture, it's pretty dang cool.
Yeah, no doubt.
Now
tell us about, and I'm looking at a picture of you on your paddleboard, and you've piled a bunch of stuff onto this board, man. You have a backpack in front with like a camelback strapped down. You have water bottles in the back, and it says you guys went after and attempted 70 miles in 48 hours. So where did that come from? And tell us about that.
Sure, man. So last year was the first year of this event. It's called the 70-48, and it's a precursor to the Race to Alaska. So the same guys who put on Race to Alaska put this on, and it's exactly that. It's 70 miles, 48 hours, 100% self-supported.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's I was the lone prone guy last year. And gave it a go, and I managed to make it. It was a pickle. It's paddling through the night. The water here is cold. There's lots of factors to it that it's not, it's definitely not a gimme. And I to be totally honest, I made a poor wetsuit choice based on the weather, you know, and the report and things like that.
Yeah.
And I ended up having to pull out at 60 miles because of hypothermia. I was freezing.
Oh, geez, I bet.
Yeah. But the thing is, man, is that you know, I did a little write up on it. It's on the it's on Monster and Sea, but it's that it was a changing experience mentally, physically, kind of the whole thing. There was a lot to it that it was super hard for one, and it was but I think mentally it sort of changed some perspectives for me that is a good thing. It's a very good thing.
So tell us about the wetsuit then. You went what, like a 3 mil, 4 mil, and then over time you just kept getting colder and colder. And another question there is, do you stop and crash on the beach for half an hour and sleep, or are you just going for 48 hours? I mean, how does take us through the whole thing?
It's crazy. It's a crazy, wonderful event. Because it's hard. There's no two ways about it. So my wetsuit choice, I wore a spring suit with layers. And so two mil suit with layers, and that proved to be that was my undoing, honestly, because the weather report when we left looked really great. Like, I figured, you know what, I can suffer through the night. You know, I've done that before. That's not a big deal. And get to when the sun comes up and it'll be warm.
Right.
Well, you know, that sound that looks okay on paper.
Always does.
It always does. But that just wasn't the case, man. I mean, as you go from Tacoma up to Port Townsend, you know, the water here hovers around 51, 52 degrees.
Oh, jeez.
And as you get up to Port Townsend toward the Strait, whether it's actual or not, it feels like the water gets colder as you get up toward the Strait. And, you know, we started out in pristine conditions, like 70, 74 degrees, you know, sun's just beating down on you.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in your head when, you know, you know wetsuits, right? So in your head, you're like 74 degrees outside, sun, I'm going to bake to death if I, you know, if I wear a 4.3 or a 3.2 or whatever. You know, but as soon as the sun went down, it got cold.
Got chilly.
And there was a part on the course where, you know, we were fortunate enough to have really good weather at the start. We had good weather the whole way through, but at the start it was pristine. It was just, you know, it was glass and,
wow,
you know, paddling along. And then no joke, man, as soon as that sun went down, something changed and it got cold, and we left this place called Cobles Passage, which, you know, is kind of a protected passage. And as soon as I got to the opening of that passage, it was like driving onto the freeway.
Oh, wow.
You know, you just get on there and I've got, you know, we got 2 to 3 foot, you know, wind swell, you know, and on prone, right. You're right in it.
Oh,
and
yeah. So getting beat, getting wet.
You're just getting worked. Yeah, you're getting worked, and like the, you know, the water is basically coming up and over you.
Yeah.
And so in that, you know, in that spring suit,
oh jeez,
you know, 11:30 at night, getting hammered by that. I got to Blake Island, which is sort of the first opportunity to stop, refuel with water. You know, that's sort of 23 miles in.
Jeez.
You know, I was already freezing cold.
Yeah.
And it sort of went downhill from there.
I know, it's so hard to warm back up. So if you decide to do it again, what would you wear? Would you throw just a 5 mil with boots and gloves and a hood and just maybe be really warm for a while, but knowing that it's not going to stay warm, you know, forever? Or what would you do with your rubber?
Well, I think one of the things, you know, you learn, right? And, at the end of the race, there was an EMT there, and he after he got done chewing me out, like he was mad at me. He's like, you're an idiot. And he used, you know, maybe more choice words than you're an idiot.
Right.
Well, you know, this is a family show, so we'll leave it at that. He sat there and he had a hard talk with me. And he's like, dude, you know, I don't care how much stuff you put on externally, you know, if you're going to stay warm and if you're going to get warm, you got to do it from the inside out.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, and so I'm like, huh, okay, well, that changes my perspective on planning for next year. Cause you know, I got some unfinished business, man. I can't leave that last 10 miles unpaddled. I gotta make it the full 70.
Oh wow. Yeah.
But I think this year's plan is to, 4-3 with a hood, booties for sure. I don't typically wear gloves. But definitely a hood.
Yeah.
Because you know, like that's where all your heat escapes.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. It is that learning curve, you know, and each time you learn, and just like with, you know, teams doing the 24, I guarantee all of them have sat down or just thought to them, each person individually, how they're going to do it different next year to be, you know, more comfortable or, you know, more better hydration or whatever that is.
Absolutely, man. I mean, even, you know, yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. So then Troy, so what's next? I mean, you're doing this is all such amazing stuff. I mean, what's coming down the pipe for you here? Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, been kind of really working behind the scenes to my hope is to take this, this spirit of giving, this, this community, you know, this community energy and sort of take that to the next level. Mm-hmm. Working to get structures in place to where we can really, you know, we've made a difference, right? Like over the course of 4 years, I think we've been able to help, or we've raised, you know, north of $400,000.
Wow. Amazing.
And so, I mean, that's, you know, that's 400 families. So yeah. You know, each family, $1,000. I mean, you do the math, it's good math. You know, it would be an absolute joy to see this help exponentially.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the goal is to put a structure in place to where, we can take the learning that we have from paddling and, you know, the community energy that comes from that. And, you know, can we take that and translate it to, a cycling event? Or a running event,
yeah,
or
that's right.
Something like, you know, to just love on communities and help as many people as we can. So that's the you know, million mile goal.
Yeah.
Right there.
Well, it makes a ton of sense. I mean, you're the guy to do it with just your passion and hard work, because you know that's what it'll take. But if you think about the model that you've put together for Monster and Seed in the 24 with paddling, there's zero reason why you can't replicate that for, like you said, cycling or people who do hiking or whatever. It's just a different activity with a different group of people. But you know, we all do that community of athlete will respond the same way paddleboarders did, you know,
no,
I get to do this with my friends and it's for a good cause. Pfft, yeah. Sign me up, you know? So that's so cool, man. Very, very, very cool.
And I think that, you know, the goal with all of this is to never lose sight of those, what you just said, is that doing what you love for the benefit of others.
Yeah, really.
And that tiny statement right there is super powerful. And, it really can make a difference in somebody's life. You know, somebody who's struggling with cancer is, you know, I mean, you're lost, you're buried, you're angry, you're, you know, insert any emotional word there and you experience it.
Yeah.
And to have a stranger, a community, a friend come alongside and say, here, and there's zero strings attached. There's zero, it comes completely out of kindness and generosity.
Yeah.
Man, I'll tell you what, we need a lot more of that.
Yeah, no, you're dead on, man. The world needs a lot more of that. And that was one of the things that really struck me was both years, but definitely the first year I did it was, you know, the family was down. There was a young woman in her 20s with a boy, I think maybe like a infant baby, 8 months, 9 months old, and her husband, just a young couple, you know, battling this thing. And the husband mentioned to me at one point, he's like, you know, it's not even the money. It's like, that's totally irrelevant at this point. It's just like, by having strangers show up, in the community and beyond, who just like are showing care. He's like, it's this crazy, like, injection of like energy and like love, you know, that just like, these families need. I mean, you guys know, you went through it, and that's really what it is. And I was like, whoa, like, I get it. And then the next family with the 10-year-old boy filing, and same thing. They're just like, dude, this is just the craziest. It's like, gave us this massive shot injection of just like good vibe, you know?
Yeah.
And it was like, whoa, man. And that's really what it's about, you know? So anyway, there's so many neat pieces to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing too is like, I mean, you and I we're sitting here talking about, you know, I'm talking a lot about me and experience and things like that. And the thing is that all this doesn't work without other people saying yes. And so, you know, being able to say thank you to you guys and to all the people who have come out of the woodwork and said, I'm in, you know, this is something that I want to be a part of. It's, you know, this has been a humbling and exciting journey. And I'm super thankful for everybody, you know, just saying yes.
Yeah. Cool. Right on. Well, I'm super thankful that you put this thing together. I know everybody else will agree, you know, so thanks for all your hard work and spearheading it, man. It's been just a great thing for, you know, me personally. It's been a really cool thing. My family is involved. My kids are out paddling. They get excited. They're like, you know, young teens, but they're like, they show up for the 6 a.m. last, you know, awesome. The last run, you know, and it's just this cool thing. So I want to thank you, Troy, for doing all that. And then thanks for today. It's just been really awesome. I've really been looking forward to speaking with you about this and just, you know, to chat with you in person. So thanks so much for sharing all of this today and for doing what you're doing, man.
Right on, Josh. This has been absolutely my pleasure.
Awesome. Well, we'll stay in touch and we'll stay in touch and see if there's some way we can, you know, help get the word out as Monster and Sea and the 24 continues to grow. For folks interested in more information, Troy, where can they go? Point them to some spots online.
You betcha. Online, you can go to monsterandsea.com. And then if you want to follow along on sort of daily adventures and things like that, the Instagram is just, you know, at Monster and Sea. And that, you know, that has a wide range of stuff from dogs to surf to, you know, just adventure. So
very cool. Very cool, man.
And if, you know, if people want to send me an email or, you know, directly, it's just troy@monsterandsea.com.
Great. Okay. And we'll throw all that in the show notes too on the podcast. So, once again, Troy, thank you so much. Really appreciate it, man. It's been great speaking with you.
Josh, thank you. And enjoy your day, my friend.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Cheers.
Hey there. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast today. We really appreciate all the support. If you like what you heard, please, you know, hype us up on social media. Always appreciate, you know, spreading the word. Give us a nice little rating on the your podcast app. And just keep tuning in. If you're interested in being on the show and sharing some of your life stories, hit me up, josh@thisoceanlife.tv. You can PM me on Facebook or Instagram. Anyway, thanks again for being here and have a great day.